The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Dr. Slavin.
I wanted to start off today talking about Pottinger's cats. You're familiar with that, right?
I'm sorry. Would you repeat that? I didn't hear.
Pottinger's cats. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with
that. No. Okay, that's good then. Okay, well, he was a doctor, Dr. Pottinger, and he's famous for his study with cats that were done back in the 1930s. And you'll see in a minute why I think this information is important to know. And what he did was he divided his group of cats into two groups. One group he fed cooked and processed food to, and studied their health through many generations for at least 10 years. And, of course, the other group of cats were given their natural diet of raw food. And he found that by the third generation, the cats on the cooked diet were so changed, they were no longer fertile, and they had similar problems with their bones and other systems. But the cats on the raw diet remained healthy and fertile for all generations. Now, the reason I bring it up is we are exposed to so much information from studies. The studies are never multi-generational. The studies rarely go for more than a year, if that long. So the point of this is that the effects or the impact of whether it be food or environmental toxins take their toll year after year, generation after generation. They're cumulative. Now, there have been a lot of debates, and we've talked a lot about this, about the genetically modified foods and the use of glyphosate. So there was an article in Forbes Science and Technology back in September 2014, and the headline was, "The debate about GMO safety is over thanks to a new trillion meal study." So I think they go on to say, "We now have a large set of data, both experimental and observational, showing that genetically modified feed is safe and nutritionally equivalent to non-GMO feed. There does not appear to be any health risk to the animals, and it is even less likely that there could be any health effects on humans who eat those animals. In order to maintain the position that GMOs are not adequately tested or that they are harmful or risky, you have to either highly selectively cherry-pick a few outlier studies of low scientific quality, or you have to simply deny the science." So that's a report. And clearly, you know, that goes against the other reports we've cited. So another report came out. This is from September 2015. When we're talking, in this report, they're talking about GMO food should be labeled, but not because of any safety issues. They say that they just should be labeled so the public knows, and then they should promote GMOs as safe so people know that, you know, don't be afraid of GMO food. So what I'm thinking here is, you've heard us, you know, talk about the what we feel are the negative effects of eating genetically modified foods for two reasons. We don't know what the genetic modifications in the food, what impact that might have upon us. But what about the effect of the glyphosate fertilizer, herbicide and pesticide applied to the crops that we're eating in high concentrations if you're eating genetically modified food, particularly when the World Health Organization has stated it's a possible carcinogen? So, Janet, before I go any further, do you have any thoughts?
I have thoughts all the time, Dr. Slavin. And my basic position in this discussion is, if everything is so safe and everything is so wonderful with regard to genetically modified foods and the chemicals that those genetically modified crops are modified to resist, why can't we make a free choice? I don't necessarily, over the years, I have not necessarily avoided certain foods because I knew that they were genetically modified. I decided to make a choice for organic foods because I felt that they provided, number one, a better potential access to the nutrients, and number two, I had an ability to know that I was not exposing myself to the chemicals, the artificial fertilizers and the pesticides and the herbicides. When I know that making an organic choice creates that situation, freedom from exposure to those chemicals, I like that. If there is the opportunity to have things labeled, that's great. But I think, unfortunately, or fortunately, Monsanto, DuPont, Bayer, Nestle, all of those companies are digging themselves into a hole because they will push more and more people into organic choices. Because without the label definitively identifying genetically modified foods, the only way to avoid them is to choose organic. And then it gets more insidious. There is genetically modified alfalfa that is grown in an organic fashion and has been forced upon dairy farmers as something that they can use, and this has been established through court cases, something that they can use as feed for their dairy herds and still call that milk organic. It goes beyond that into canola oil. When we think about canola, we think, oh, that's organic. It says it on the label. Well, the source of the canola oil is rapeseed. Rapeseed is a genetically modified seed. However, the rapeseed, when it is grown organically, then the law establishes that can be categorized as organic. Do I buy canola oil? Never. Is there such a thing as organic canola oil? No, indeed. So these are the details that are insidiously kept from the information sources in the general population. As you see, Dr. Slavin, I'm pretty opinionated on the subject.
Well, one of the reasons I'm bringing it up is it could be very confusing for anyone trying to, you know, get an answer to their concerns about whether or not it's safe to eat genetically modified foods. So to bring you the other side of the story here, one would have to then wonder why 19 countries in Europe have completely banned genetically modified crops. So here it says that the global resistance against GMO crops is growing at an exponential rate. And a few years ago, you were almost ridiculed for suggesting that GM foods could be a problem. And now scientists and researchers are presenting information that has 19 new countries joining an already long list of nations to completely ban or have severe restrictions on GMOs, as well as the pesticides that go with them. So I just want to insert something here, too. So, yeah, you have politicians in this country, you know, promoting GMOs, and it's perfectly safe. And I think in this political season, you realize the impact now of what lobbyists and political donors, the impact they have on politicians. So these countries will not allow genetically modified crops to be grown in their country. The opt-out countries are requesting that biotechnology companies exclude their territories from GMO seed sales, and some countries are simply putting things to a halt until more research is conducted. So basically what they're saying, and I think this is the correct approach, is that we don't have enough evidence one way or another to say definitively whether it's perfectly safe or that there's a danger to it. And until we have more information, it would make more sense to avoid the genetically modified crops. Now, what the people who are in favor of genetically modified crops would say is, well, they're perfectly safe. You don't have to avoid them until we find out that they're not safe. Here's what they do to genetically modified. Go ahead, Janet.
Genetically modified roulette.
Well, exactly. Oh, and the reason I brought up Pottinger's cats originally is that the damage may not be seen in the first generation. It could take successive generations to really see the full impact on introducing these artificial substances into our bodies. Now, GMO crops have had their...
We know in generations of rats that fertility is affected, vitality of the offspring is affected. So we know that in rat generations, and we have lots and lots of research that uses rats as a standard for identifying problems. So we do know that there is a generational negative associated with genetically modified crops.
Time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com.
And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We started off today's program talking about Pottinger's cats. And the reason I did that, because that study was actually done to perhaps show the benefit of eating a, well, giving cats a their natural raw food diet compared to a cooked processed diet. And they followed the cats for successive generations, and each generation showed a continuous decline in their health. And so what I'm saying is with genetically modified crops, you know, it may be too soon to say that they're perfectly safe because they haven't been around long enough. Those crops have had their DNAs artificially altered, which is a process that does not happen in nature. And the way they do it is they introduce genes from a completely different species. And they have, for a couple of reasons, either they want to boost the plant's resistance to pests or herbicides, or create some other desired effects. One of the effects might be where the plant produces their own pesticide or herb. You know, so that's what they call the genetically engineered crops. But 19 countries in Europe, that's more than half of the ones in the European Union, have banned GMO crops or even the sale of seeds in their countries. Those countries include Germany, France, Scotland, Italy, Austria, Greece, Poland, and Belgium. And, you know, a lot of people don't like the idea. I think we're leaning, or we're understanding that every time you manipulate nature and change things that have been around for millions of years, you know, that's sort of a proven track record, and you start changing things, you usually don't have good things happen. I mean, we could cite a lot of examples. We could look at the health of an individual and start off, let's start off from childhood. You know, kid is growing up. They do, you know, basic tests, nothing very special. They check blood pressure. Everything is good. They hit their late teens, early 20s, and some people may have the development of high blood pressure. If they did a little more testing, what they would be finding is a lot of insulin resistance. But they're not testing fasting insulin levels. They're just looking at sugar. So the sugars can remain normal in your blood while the insulin levels are going up. And that's one of the earliest signs that a problem is beginning. And then when a problem becomes symptomatic, or at least very noticeable, they start handing out the drugs. So you can see nothing is following nature at all. Everything is sort of planned out to sell drugs to treat problems that are not brought on by drug deficiencies, that are brought on by changes in our eating habits. And that's what the Pottinger study showed us almost, you know, 80 years ago. So just, you know, something to consider that most of our problems, and by the way, they went on in the Pottinger study, when they returned those cats to their natural diets, after generations, those problems reverse themselves. So it's showing that, you know, the wrong foods can be the cause of the problem, and the right foods can be the solution to the problem. So I'm just suggesting, like Janet was saying, you know, maybe organic food choices are the best choice right now, because that's the closest we can get to eating food in its natural condition.
Janet, can you think of... You mentioned, Dr. Slavin, that the cats had, the cats who remained healthy for generations were given a raw food diet. And that's an area of discussion for many people. You know, should we be doing raw juicing? Should it be a combination of raw fruits and vegetables? How much of a percentage of our diets should be raw, how much should be cooked, how should we cook things. And you talk all the time about the importance of how an egg is cooked, maintaining an intact yolk. My discussion about eggs would include to cook it very, very slowly. So there are so many different details that go into creating a health-supporting diet. And even when we choose the highest quality base ingredients for our foods, it is still an important aspect based on water that we're exposed to, based on airborne pollutants, based on stress, sugar in some of our foods, and so on. It's very, very important to focus also on supporting nutrient status. Lots and lots of people out there think that we should be able to get all the vitamin D we need from the sun. But I would say, based on the number of vitamin D blood tests you do at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, Dr. Slavin, that very often you find people are deficient in vitamin D. Then you think about, okay, the digestive system chemistry. So many people out there using a variety of different pharmaceuticals or even over-the-counter substances that interfere with the efficiency of your digestive tract, that ultimately leading to a nutrient deficiency. I know that the Advanced Medical Testing Center has a number of different approaches for testing the levels of important nutrients in the body. Dr. Slavin, would you talk about that for a little bit, about what we need to test and possibly some of our goals? I think the goals that you might have for your patients might be very, very different from what mainstream practitioners suggest as a goal for vitamin D, as an example.
Well, let me put it in a different context, and I'm going to use a composite patient. So this is a patient that we've seen, you know, over the years, you know, new patients that come to the practice. And we do the testing that we do, which goes beyond what they get from other doctors, because the other doctors aren't spending the time it takes to get these tests done and the time it takes to explain it to the patients. But it's important if you want to really make a difference in the lives of people instead of just writing prescriptions for them. I think that's the biggest difference. When you enable the patient to have the information that they, so they can do a better job taking care of themselves, it works. And they wind up not needing all the drugs that might be prescribed for them. Or even more importantly, they diminish their risk of certain illnesses. So the composite patient comes in. Sometimes they come in because they were just diagnosed with cancer, for example. And when we do the studies, what we find is their vitamin C levels are low, their omega-3 levels are low, their vitamin D levels are low, their hormones are out of balance, meaning, you know, high estrogen levels, no progesterone. But you might find that their complete blood count and serum chemistries are normal. And that's pretty much all the doctors are testing for. So you can have a lot of things wrong that are making you more susceptible to getting illness. But those issues are not being addressed because you don't solve the problem with a drug. And that's what doctors are doing, prescribing drugs based on the testing they do. So why would they bother checking your vitamin C level? There's not a drug to correct that. The correction is include more vitamin C in your diet. So this is what we find. On the other hand, the people that come in, and it happens occasionally, where they've been taking better care of their bodies, so that all their tests come back normal, and these are healthy people. I mean, there's a big difference. Not suffering from illnesses that require any medications. And Janet, I'm sure you see the same situations in the people you come across each day?
Over and over again, symptoms that people discuss with me sometimes have very, very simple and direct answers, simply supporting hormonal balance. And people might be very surprised to learn that you can achieve hormonal balance with natural substances, very, very low doses. And when it is a more complicated and significant hormonal imbalance, then, Dr. Slavin, you have the approaches with using bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, using that therapy in a very well-constructed way, understanding what the starting point is, putting together the individualized dosage necessary to correct the imbalance, and then testing to observe the progress over the course of months. And there are times when very subtle changes to dosing might be necessary, but for the most part, there are so many very, very natural answers to symptoms that people come to see me and come to see you at the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
Now, another important reason for testing, because I'm sure there are a lot of people that, out there that exercise a lot and they take their supplements and they eat a good diet and they may feel there's no reason for testing. But I can tell you in my experience in testing people like that, clearly they do a lot better than the average person, you know, from the standpoint of their insulin levels being down and, you know, cholesterol levels being all in a normal range. You know, those things come up good. What we don't know without testing is the level of inflammation in their bodies, because that's going to be a reflection not just of the food you eat, because food can be very inflammatory, but if you're overtraining or overexercising, could be creating inflammation, and you'd like to know that. This way you would say, maybe I have to change my workout regimen because I'm overdoing it. Now, why is that important? Because you've seen studies of people that do high-intensity exercise, and every now and then you hear about people unable to finish the race, unexpected deaths of marathon runners. Now, why is that happening? You know, these are presumably healthy people. Well, you can't pick up the problems without testing, and then you could prevent them if needed. I thought I heard some music in the background, Janet. So I'm going to we'll take a break right now. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Jim Fix. I'm sure some of our listeners remember him. But for now, you're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4000. 954-991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And before the break, I said I'd talk a little bit about Jim Fix. Janet, you remember him?
I do.
Okay. So here's who Jim Fix was, if you never heard of him. He was an American author who published a best-selling book in 1977 called The Complete Book of Running. And he was credited with helping start America's fitness revolution, popularizing the sport of running and demonstrating the alleged health benefits of regular jogging. And but he started this at age 35. At that point, he weighed 214 pounds and smoked two packs of cigarettes a day. 10 years later, when his book, The Complete Book of Running, came out, and it spent 11 weeks as the number one on the bestseller list, was published. He had lost 60 pounds and was no longer smoking. So he was a major advocate of the benefits of physical exercise and how it considerably increased the average life expectancy. So this is all well and good, except for one thing. Jim Fix died in 1984 at the age of 52 of a heart attack while running. So what are we missing? That's the point. Here's somebody that obviously lost the weight, exercised regularly, stopped smoking, and what happened? So if you remember Dr. Kenneth Cooper, he at the time was popular. He wrote the book Aerobics, and they gave him access to Jim Fix's medical records. And the conclusion he came to, after looking at the medical records and talking to friends and family, that Jim Fix was genetically predisposed. His father died of a heart attack at age 43 after having had his first one at 35. And Jim Fix himself had a congenitally enlarged heart and had lived an unhealthy life up until age 35. He was a smoker. And he began then running at age 36. He had a stressful occupation. He had undergone a second divorce. That's stressful. And he had been overweight before, 214. He'd lost 60 pounds. So what could Jim Fix have done in hindsight? Because, it's on the surface, it sounds like he did everything right. He stopped smoking. He lost the weight. He was exercising on a regular basis, and then unexpectedly he dies from a heart attack while running. So just want people to think about that. So my recommendation again is testing. What might we have found with him? Well, my understanding too is he wasn't necessarily a big believer in eating healthy, although he did lose weight. So again, you want to look at your nutrient levels, things that may predispose you to illness. You want to look at heavy metals, particularly in smokers. They're going to accumulate heavy metals like cadmium. These are clear risk factors for disease, not just heart disease, by the way, but cancer as well.
Dr. Slavin, yeah. I'm going to mention something from a client of mine from Los Angeles, a runner, probably in the range of about 40 miles a week of running, and a young woman with a poor quality diet, I'm going to say, but ultimately being diagnosed with lung cancer and being out in the smog of Los Angeles and running, doing that heavy respiration, taking in the really polluted air, generally accepted as kind of normal in Los Angeles. So I'm going to say that the discussion about heavy metals with regard to Jim Fix, possibly his running, depending on where he was doing the running, if he's running next to a freeway, if he's running next to a heavy trafficked area, certainly the potential for extra stress on his heart and respiratory system would be very apparent.
Oh, I think, you have to use common sense, too. We see the same thing with people in Manhattan running along the East River, you know, with the FDR Drive right there with all those cars and pollutants. Not the best location to run in. So
it's true. And so very, very important to have that understanding that you're exposing yourself to more significant pollutants that your body is not very readily able to excrete. So very important to understand that testing is a valuable way to see what your risk level is. And then once that has been determined, certainly very important in my view to determine what your nutrient levels are that are going to be supportive of how your immune system is going to function. And then, of course, to get rid of those toxic materials that your body's not able to naturally excrete. So one of those ways is the chelation challenge test. Dr. Slavin, talk a little bit about how people can go about that chelation challenge test and what the results tend to mean.
Especially with the new information that has come out from Flint, Michigan, and that's where when they had switched the water supply to the city, they inadvertently increased the population's exposure to lead in the water. And so a lot of children in particular were becoming poisoned by the lead, and they need to be treated. But you have to do the right test. Now, I think your average doctor would never have heard of a chelation challenge test. So they would just automatically do a blood test for these heavy metal toxins. Besides cadmium, mercury, lead, arsenic, all important toxins in the environment that we're exposed to on a daily basis. If you do a blood test, likelihood is you're not going to find levels that would be considered dangerous, although there isn't any safe level of a poison in the body. And the reason for that is the body doesn't allow these toxins to remain circulating in the blood. They get deposited in the tissues and organs, like kidneys, for example. So you do a chelation challenge test, and what that is, it's taking either an oral or intravenous chelating agent. We use an oral agent for the test because it's a lot easier. And the chelating agent will circulate through the body, and when it comes in contact with heavy metals, it will attach itself to those heavy metals and bring it back into the circulation, so that the body can get rid of it through the urine. And then we collect a urine specimen and see what is actually being pulled out of the body. So you get an idea of what's been accumulating in a person's body. Now, are you going to be able to tell quantities? Not really, because these heavy metals are stored at different levels in the tissue. So you may hit an area where there's a big accumulation, a lot may come out the next time you test. You may not hit that level where all the accumulation is found, but you shouldn't find these poisons in your body. You know, poisons are poisons. You know, I like to say that they changed the name of poisons to pharmaceuticals because people wouldn't take them when they were called poisons, because that's what pharmaceuticals do. They poison aspects of your body. Think about it. Your body wants to have high blood pressure because it's telling you something's wrong. So you have to poison that mechanism with a drug to lower the number. But you haven't removed the cause. So anyway, back to the chelation challenge. When you see what's accumulating in the body, you can get an idea of just what heavy metals are in there. And there is no safe level, as I mentioned. So to go on a little bit more about this chelation therapy, and we mentioned last week, I think we talked about the trial to assess chelation therapy, which actually showed how effective it was. And it was a very narrow trial because it was only looking at reducing future cardiac occurrences in people that had already had a heart attack. But chelation therapy goes far beyond that. In one study, and this was an observational study, where a town in Europe that was on right off a highway, so they were exposed to lead. The town that was chelated had a 90% lower incidence of cancer compared to the part of the town that wasn't chelated. So you can see the impact of all these toxins on us. I'm not saying it's the only thing you have to be concerned about, but if you're concerned about your health, it's one of the areas you have to at least evaluate and then decide how you want to address that problem.
Very important information. Dr. Slavin, what do you think about when you have supported nutrition status? And I'm thinking about vitamin D, vitamin C, vitamin A, E. When you have superior levels, I'm going to say in the upper quarter of the reference range for those nutrients, might you be in a little bit protected area with regard to minimizing the potential for taking in those toxic substances?
You would be, particularly if you're not mineral deficient, which unfortunately is a very common state in patients in this country, because they're not eating a diet that's high in minerals. Part of the reason is the soil has been depleted of minerals, so even the foods that are grown on the soil are not going to have the high levels of mineral content that they might have had at one time. So taking mineral supplements are important because they're going to reduce your body's ability to absorb these toxic minerals because you've got these receptors in your body, full with the nutrient minerals. It's not going to be able to take up the toxic minerals. On the other hand, if you're deficient in minerals and you're exposed to these other minerals that resemble, by the way, the nutrient minerals, your body will take it up. It can't really distinguish between a nutrient mineral and a toxic mineral. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And last we were talking about heavy metals and how to test for it. And I think that's actually an important point. Because some, you know, there are some people that just come in for chelation therapy because they probably read books on it and they realize that everybody benefits to some extent with chelation therapy because no one is really not exposed to the heavy metals that chelation therapy removes from the body. But there are others that need to be convinced. So then you do the test and you see if you have accumulations. And then you can decide how you want to deal with it. But without measuring, you never know what's happening. And just want to point out that cadmium has been associated with breast cancer because it mimics estrogen. So just, and you think that our environment is less toxic today than it was 50 years ago or more toxic? What would you say, Janet?
Okay, I have to say, it's a dead heat. Years ago, there were different toxins and different issues, more infectious disease. And today, I think we have to deal more with chemical intoxication. So just different issues.
Okay, I'm going to, cadmium has a lot of issues, but here's something to understand. Tobacco smoking is the most important single source of cadmium exposure in the general population. It's been estimated that about 10% of the cadmium content of a cigarette is inhaled through smoking. The absorption of cadmium from the lungs is much more effective than from the gut, and as much as 50% of the cadmium inhaled via cigarette smoke may be absorbed. So someone who's a smoker has 4 to 5 times higher blood cadmium concentrations. And remember, blood concentrations aren't a good indication, but they have 4 to 5 times higher blood cadmium concentrations, 2 to 3 times higher kidney cadmium concentrations than non-smokers. And they say that, you know, second or passive smoke or secondhand smoke is not a major risk factor for cadmium. And we see the association with diseases like breast cancer, probably bladder cancer, to these exposures. So you just want to be aware of it. One last thing. In the non-smoking part of the population, food is the biggest source of exposure to cadmium. High quantities of cadmium can be found, for example, in shellfish. Kind of interesting. However, due to the higher consumption, the most significant contributors to the dietary cadmium exposure are grains, vegetables, starchy roots, and tubers. Cadmium exposure is a risk factor associated with early atherosclerosis and high blood pressure and can both lead to cardiovascular disease. When did your doctor last tell you that?
It's been a while, my guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he's telling you, here, take these drugs. Take these drugs that are treating the effects of having been exposed to cadmium, for example. Well, why not test if cadmium is the issue? Take the cadmium out of your body. So that's why people who get chelated have their normal blood pressures restored in many cases, reduce their risk of heart disease and heart attacks, because we're dealing with toxins like cadmium that have these kinds of effects. And by the way, the information I'm passing along here is not written in a chelation book. you know, it's in other words, they don't have a horse in the race. You know, they just giving out the facts from various sources, that have been published.
Dr. Slavin, so we are finding that there are potentially many more sources of cadmium coming across our bodies than we may have previously thought. Now, a lot of times there are different substances that might act as a block to certain toxic metals. Is there any nutrient mineral that people need to be very supportive of in order to minimize the potential for cadmium intoxication?
Well, I mentioned, you want to have all your minerals. You don't want to just say, "Well, I'll take this mineral or that mineral." But I'm just looking on the periodic table because that's how you can figure some of these out. See, cadmium is the 48th element, and it's in the same column as zinc. And interestingly, in the same column as mercury. So you can see how people who are deficient in zinc allow